The District of Columbia is facing a deficit of more than $300 million. April 1st, Mayor Vincent Gray will transmit a balanced budget to the D.C. Council. In order to do so, the mayor must either cut services or raise revenue, or both. All this past week, Save Our Safety Net, a grassroots advocacy organization, made and brought lunch to the mayor in the hopes of meeting with him to discuss slightly raising taxes on the district's highest income earners in order to avoid further cuts to safety net services. The mayor, however, declined to meet with the group. Friday was the culmination of Save Our Safety Net's week-long Let's Do Lunch campaign, and the group brought subs and a cake to the mayor's office, only to be told that they were not welcome on the sixth floor of the John A. Wilson building.
Excuse me. I'm going to say it right. One more
I hear
you. Time.
I totally hear you.
I've asked you nicely.
But there's a bunch of people. So there's people living with HIV. There's people living in poverty who are living here, right? There's people who are just trying to figure out how do we move forward with the mayor when the mayor is off.
Before heading down to the second floor to speak with the flack for the mayor, Ayanna Ford, an organizer with Save Our Safety Net, had this to say.
This week, we've had a week-long lunch campaign. We visited Mayor Gray every day at 1 o'clock p.m., where we have asked to have a meeting with him. We filled out meeting requests prior to our arrival, and we filled out a meeting request for every day that we've been here. People can go to SaveOurSafetyNet.org to see the footage that will be uploaded over this weekend. Every day, we've been receiving messages from him. He's even seen us one day and walked past us. He's aware that we're here. He's not interested in Saving Our Safety Net services in the Human Services of Washington, D.C. We are continuing to bring organizations. We've represented all 8 wards. We have safety net users, we have safety net providers, as well as high income earners who testify that they welcome an increase to their taxes in order to save human services. His administration has been all but professionally rude, is a nice way in which it can be said.
The 40-person Save Our Safety Net contingent was met on the second floor by Gray's budget chief, Eric Goulet. Surrounded by advocates and those who stand to be impacted by cuts in services, Goulet was given an education on the real-life consequences of the bureaucratic decisions he will help the mayor make.
Here are your concerns. We've gotten the letters, which I think you sent in. I've seen those. You know, we've made the mayor aware of your issues. And this is really getting a bit ridiculous. I mean,
I think he's actually a blogger.
Yeah, I'm a reporter. Well, you're speaking on behalf of the mayor, yeah?
Okay. I appreciate you guys coming in. Thank you for taking the time to be here. And we're glad to get to talk with you. Want to hear your concerns, so do you want to go around and go through each one of them? I think we've got a pretty good idea from the letters we've received. So thank you for coming in and going through it all.
Well, I'm Laura Goldberg. I'm affiliated with Jews United for Justice. I am a volunteer for Bread for the City, although I'm not speaking for Bread. But I see people from D.C. Who are really struggling, and the idea that they should not raise taxes on Ward 3, where I live, and take it away from people who every dollar counts is just heartbreaking for me, just heartbreaking.
Anybody else on the set?
My name is Sabrina Hurd. I work with the Women's Collective. That's in Ward 5. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned about cuts being made on programs that provide the local rent subsidy program that keeps housing affordable. D.C. Children and Youth Investment Trust Corporations, which fund after-school programs for D.C. youth, temporary assistance to needy families, which supports families with children struggling to make ends meet.
Okay.
My name is Shirley Massey, and I'm a resident of Ward 4. I am also a member of the Injured Worker Advocates. Our group is advocating for the restoration of the workers' compensation program because many of the individuals have fallen into poverty. They're below the poverty level. They don't always get their benefits. Families have been broken up. Families have been made homeless. Health has deteriorated. And there are folks who don't qualify for other services because the Office of Risk Management is in such disarray. There are people without medical care coverage. There are people who don't have retirement to fall back on.
We gotta go. We have to finish the budget here. So we've got to keep it to a couple minutes.
There's two things I actually want to ask you about. One is that there are people here who need some chairs because, as you can see, we're not all as able-bodied. But
let me explain here. Okay, you guys showed up. We had no idea how many people you were bringing. Mm-hmm. We do not have a room that cannot accommodate a crowd of this size. I cannot go book council rooms.
Yes.
We're on the executive side. So let me give you a brief overview of where we are with the budget right now.
That would be helpful.
We're literally days away from finalizing the budget. We have to get the budget ready to submit April 1st. We're aware of your issues. You've sent in the letters. We have those, and we are examining them. My staff's looking at them, and the mayor's aware of your issues. And we're very aware of it. He said your revenue ideas, we've received all of them. Mayor said he's open to keeping revenue options on the table, and he's going to look at those along with expenditure reductions as part of this budget. So,
Eric, we've heard that there are...
Yes, I need to speak to you, too. My name is Louise Thundercloud, and I'm part of Save Our Safety Net. I'm also here to represent the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network. I'm also receiving services through the Department of Mental Health. These cuts that are being proposed will cut a lot deeper into services for the disabled. And it will cause a lot of disabled people to become homeless, be out on the street. So you're talking about two issues. You're talking about people not getting the services that they need as people who have disabilities, but also those people that are in need will become homeless. I live at the YWCA here at 9th in Rhode Island, where I'm looking at a lot of severely mentally ill women, women who are duly diagnosed with autism or other developmental delays, and they are also mentally ill. There are no facilities for them, so they end up being warehoused someplace where they do not have the supervision that they need. And I really would like the mayor to look at of the budget, as well as being sure that rent subsidies are not cut, because a lot of the women that are in there are living in those places because of rent subsidies. They wouldn't be able to afford their rent without that help.
The local rent supplement program?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here representing, I'm a resident of Ward 1, and I work for Mary Center for Maternal and Child Care. I also worked for the transition and was very excited about working on that transition team with HHS. And I'm very disappointed at this point, but I would like you to please pay attention on a couple of things. The DC Healthcare Alliance is really a safety net for our immigrant population. So I want to really be able to you to consider that. And the second thing is the pro-urban youth dollars that would help our kids who are not able to be on the summer youth program is something that we would really like you to consider. Would like to thank you for the Office of Latino Affairs. I hear that that's been has been something that's been maintained, and also that CYTC may have restored some dollars.
Well, the mayor hasn't made final decisions on those yet. Obviously, the final decisions. I don't ever want to get ahead of preempting the mayor and releasing his budget, but he is examining all of those issues, and we've received a response on a number of these issues, and we're examining.
I also want to tell you just that Mary Center has been here for about 23 years, and so we know the community who are millionaires, because there are many of those are some of our donors, but they're not going anywhere. The millionaires, if we speak to the millionaires that live in the city, they've been here for generations and generations and generations. They're not about to step out of the city. Where are they going to go? So I just urge you to really, really consider that, okay? Thank you.
Sir, please listen to the other people who are here who want to say something to you. Please listen to them.
Let's go around the room. Anybody else? Let me just...
I'm really concerned because what I've heard from you before is that you're considering human services cuts like in relationship to revenue generated, but we haven't heard that there's going to be any significant revenue generated. And there are proposals on the table that would bring in significant amounts of money. The Fair Budget Fiscal Policy Institute has come up with an income tax increase that would get us almost $100 million in new revenue. And we're looking at huge cuts to programs that we all know have already been cut before. So what I would like to start hearing from the mayor is that he's taking the safety net off the table, that the cuts aren't disproportionately going to keep coming from human services, and instead he's going to look at some serious revenue generators that are going to allow us to balance the budget without cutting more programs that have already been cut and that we know are life-saving programs for low-income residents of the district. And that is like, and that's the message that we want to get from him. And since you're the only person that we can talk to on this issue, we would really like to hear it from you.
Well, we appreciate you coming in. As we've said, the mayor's keeping all options on the table. He hasn't ruled anything out, and I'm not going to come out and preempt the mayor's budget.
Well, we would love for you to have him come out and talk to us. I mean, if you're not in a position to make that case. But I think that saying that everything is still on the table when we've heard a number of programs that are going to be protected and that we're still expecting major cuts to human services with no real significant revenue generators means that we're still looking at the kinds of budgets we've seen before where human services and programs for low-income people end up having the major impact of the cuts.
It was my understanding tax increases was on the table up until recently. I was very distressed to hear this week Mayor Gray say that he does not envision tax increases, so we wanted to give him a few visuals to envision children and families who are homeless in our city, which will undoubtedly continue to rise if those services are cut in lieu of raising taxes.
I'm sorry, just remember, this is just one example of how these programs and services are cutting people. And I know you guys are looking at save the things that are the priorities and the things that are drastically needed to serve the community, but it's important to know that the human services programs are a necessity for a lot of people, and without them, bad things will happen to a lot of people in the city, and we need them to be funded in order to support these family members and community members.
And if I could add, too, real quick, just to say that there are people in this city, higher income people who are willing to pay more taxes, that want to pay more taxes because they recognize the necessity of these social services. And that's all we're asking, a small percentage raise on high income earners that will protect these programs. I don't know why the mayor doesn't just make a commitment to do that. It's an easy thing to do. You just come out and you say, I will raise taxes on high income people and we won't have to make these cuts.
I just was reading this in the newspaper today, Black Majorities Status Slips Away, and seeing how literally the face of the city is changing. And I don't think that's the city that this mayor was elected to run. We want a city where people who have been in the city for generations can stay here. We want a city that's compassionate towards low-income people. We want a city that shows the rest of this country that we believe that people who are wealthy can afford to pay more taxes. I personally would be happy to pay higher taxes to know that the poorest people in the city would be able to continue to live here and get the services they require. So we're just asking for the mayor to show the kind of compassion that we thought he had when many of us helped him become the mayor of the city. And we want a city that continues to be diverse and is a city where lower income people are able to stay here.
Yes. And also on that, I'd like to say that if the services are cut, then you're looking at a situation where you've created more crime, more homelessness, more people in need. I don't think people think about that. I mean, the first thing that most council people think of is let's increase the police presence. What if you put services in place and you put the money there to make sure that these were guaranteed? Then you could cut down on the probability that there would be more crime. I don't think people think twice about what the effect is going to be.
My name is...
Oh, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm Tyke Berry. I live in Ward 6. I'd just like to say, I see our city actually is doing well compared to the rest of the cities around the country. And we know that our president made a big mistake by not raising the taxes on the upper 1%, on the very, very wealthy in this country. And they're going back to review this. We need to see that we don't want to be like Detroit or Cleveland or these other cities that go into the toilet before they raise these taxes, which inevitably they're going to be raised. We all know that. Everybody knows that inevitably the rich are going to have to start paying. The corporations that pay zero taxes last year, that made $43 billion, are going to have to start paying taxes. And so it's time for this mayor to step up, because he's a strong mayor and he's a good mayor in a great city, that he could sit there and he could come out and say, we do need to raise the taxes on the super wealthy.
My name is Ayanna Ford. I'm the campaign organizer for Save Our Safety Net DC. We were the sponsors of Take the Safety Net Off the Table, Mayor Gray. We've brought all of these constituents here from these respective organizations in their respective wards. It is very clear that the needed safety net services for the residents of Washington, D.C. is not important. We voted for Mayor Gray, and he ran on a mayoral platform of creating one D.C. Our D.C. has become a District of Columbia for haves and have-nots. We are only arguing that as Washingtonians, we share the burden of our nation's capital. It is no reason for the seat of politics and policy for the nation's capital to be a place in which poverty, gentrification, racism, and systematic oppression is seated. It is unacceptable for our politicians to have their constituents standing in the hallway, both disabled, both elderly, high-income earners, low-income earners, safety net providers, safety net users alike, standing in the hallway to speak with the director of budget and policy for Washington, D.C. We have sent several letters all this week that read exactly as this sign has read. We have brought the mayor lunch all this week, personally made by SOS staff, and he has not even so much as acknowledged our presence. On day three of our protest, he walked by us without so much as a hello. I voted for Mayor Vince Gray. He was my council chairperson. I remember hearing the stories of when he became a politician here in Washington, D.C. My entire family is from Washington, D.C., which is why I am an employee of Save Our Safety Net, D.C. Our demand is very clear. Please utilize income tax brackets in order to generate progressive revenue and use that progressive revenue to save the safety net services that have been so diversely represented here today. For three years, we've taken cuts. We've seen over $100 million in cuts. While there's no conversation for cutting taxes, there is, however, conversations about tax abatements. Currently, we're seeing that the Adams Morgan Hotel is receiving upwards of $40 million in tax abatements. Less than $500,000 would have kept the House of Ruth running in the need that it needed to be. That's $500,000, not a million, not two, not three. We've seen cuts to child care subsidies in times in which the budget season was very good. It shows that if you invest $1 in a Washington, D.C. youth, you save $7 later in crime prevention and education, remedial education. We are asking you to take a stand as a member of the office, as a member of the cabinet, and save our safety net. This is only the beginning.
Well, thank you all for coming out. We really appreciate you coming out, you know, letting us know. We've gotten a lot through email already. A lot of you have reached out. You've made us aware of your issues through email. We appreciate you coming out in person, and we're sorry we weren't able to know in time the number of people you'd bring here so we could try to set something up that would accommodate it. So thank you for coming out. Thank you for each of your opinions here. The mayor is aware of your issues here. He's very well versed in the human services areas. That's been his passion throughout his life, and he's aware of your concerns.
Will you commit to saving our safety net by putting progressive revenue, including income tax brackets? I can give you the brackets. Would you like the brackets? Would you like me? Would you like exactly? The brackets are, and you have received them by email, but for the media, for them to be aware. We are asking that you raise taxes, and it's very, so that you can see, 9% for income over $100,000.
Yes.
9.5% for income $200,000 to $500,000.
Yes.
10% for $500,000 and up. Progressive new revenue would enable us to stop divesting from public structures and instead invest in the economy an economic recovery that includes everyone. Will you commit to saving our safety net by introducing these into the mayor's budget, which is scheduled to close April 1st? Yes or no?
Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no?
As I stated from when we met, this was to hear you out, hear your interests. Yes, I'm not going to get ahead of the mayor on presenting his budget.
Yes,
the mayor will
no.
make these decisions, and we'll be glad to sit down with you after the budget's released again. We'll bring everybody back. If you let us know ahead of time the numbers, we'll be able to set something up that's
There's
not in
no
the hallway.
Way that took notes. There's no one here that was able, other than the media that's represented, that recorded our commentary. So how is the mayor, if he is not physically present, and you have in no way taken notes, and you've stated out of your mouth that this is ridiculous to know what our concerns are?
No, I said getting this thing put that close to my mouth was ridiculous, okay? So that was the first part. We have not treated you in any way unprofessionally here today.
Am I incorrect in my observation?
The second thing was, we've received by email all of these concerns here numerous times.
And we've been here physically all week, correct?
We're aware of them.
We've been here physically all week.
We've been here, and we appreciate you coming in. We're glad we were able to meet with you and go through your concerns. We've heard the concerns, and we appreciate that. So thank you for coming in. We appreciate all of the input we got today. So thanks for coming in.